The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by WinBet. I'm Clay Link here on this Friday afternoon with Todd Zola of RotoWire.com, also of Masters Ball. We're going to be looking at pickups, also, of course, grading starters for next week. But Todd, how are you today?
I had a kind of a revelation this week.
Oh, yeah?
Do you realize that people listen to this?
Every now and then it catches me off guard when I hear it.
I don't know why. It's just weird. It was more than one in under five notes or tweets or something I got this week referencing, yeah, I listen to you and Clay on the podcast every Friday, whatever. So I was like, whoa. So do you think they listen to us on Saturday on XM too?
I hope so, but I'm not going to ask for too much.
Yeah, no, I kind of caught me off guard a little bit. Wow, yeah, people listen to this babble. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I remember somebody I was talking to on the phone was like, "It's weird to talk to you on the phone. I talked to you on the or I listened to you so much on the pod." I'm like, "Really?"
Well, there was a couple of football, and then there was a couple of somebody actually from high school, and then there was some, yeah. So it was weird. It was like 1 week. That I kept getting them. So yeah, no, it's all good. I'm being facetious, obviously. Hopefully, there's some people out there that listen to this stuff, and hopefully, mm-hmm. we're able to help them out.
Yeah, I mean, we just do it so much that you kind of, I don't know if like not seeing the forest through the trees is the right phrase, but you do it so much that you kind of do get into rhythm, and maybe you don't get that immediate feedback some weeks, and you kind of do lose a sense of how many people are listening. We appreciate our audience.
Oh, absolutely. It does feel like, I don't know if you're the same way, but at times it does feel like we're working in a vacuum, you know?
Yep. Sometimes it feels like, especially doing the MLB show occasionally, it feels like I'm talking into the void.
Are you guys back in the office pretty much now?
Yes, although Madison, Wisconsin here just yesterday reinstituted the indoor mask mandate.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, so talking to some great sign. That's if you're in the office all the time, maybe not so much. But those of us freelancers, sometimes we write, we hit submit, stuff goes up online, and it's just weird. It does feel like a vacuum, which is when we get out to do the first pitch, et cetera. You know, I saw you on the podcast. I read this. I read that. It's kind of weird. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, I get more of that feedback early in the season. We get into the dog days a little bit, and people, you know, start turning their attention toward football or just lose interest in their leagues. And yeah, I understand. It's just sometimes I am surprised to hear.
Yeah, you're not into your football leagues too much, are you?
No, very little, actually. I had to host with Mario on the XM channel, the XM Fantasy channel, a few weeks ago, and thankfully he's just knows his stuff, because all I could do was just tee him up questions on as far as football goes.
All good.
But he made my life easy. Todd, some pickups in the Stake League this week. I'm trying to hold on to an eater spot. I slipped to ninth, which is no Ooh. Good. I have the longest eater streak at the company, and I can't – I mean, that'd be a bad look if I let that end this year. But ninth. I need to get up at least to eighth. I'm only a couple points out, but I was trying to reinforce my team where I could. Outfield is a real mess for me, so I got Brett Phillips and Victor Robles on zero. But the top pickup for $8 was Joe Barlow in Texas. He's got a couple saves. Any interest there? I mean, I imagine, you know, teams where you need saves, you're going to have some bids in there, but it just doesn't seem like a guy I'm going to be going hard after where I still have a bunch of.
Well, we don't use the phrase closer of the future as much as we did. I mean, that was kind of a buzzword 5, 6, 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. All the teams seemed to be grooming a guy for their closer of the future, but when it became such a transient position, teams weren't doing that. I don't know if I call Barlow closer of the future, but he's compiled, he's collected a save at every minor league level. So that tells me at least that their Texas is looking for him. So I see Barlow as a guy for this year. I also see him as someone that if you're in a keeper league and depending upon your rules, you might be able to get a cheap closer for next year. Because I think that might be even more of a ploy than at this point. I mean, even the number one closers, Texas doesn't generate many saves. We may be talking about the difference of 6 and 4. You know, how many saves were a little more than, you know, a little more than 3/4 of the way through. So if you get 35 saves, okay, maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that's closer to 8 or 9. So if, you know, between 8 or 9 and 5 or 6. So it's not quite as a difference as when looking 35 to 20.
Yeah, that's a good point. I get the case for, you know, where you need it, go and get him, but just not an arm I'm all that excited about. But you mentioned the saves on the farm. Maybe he does stick around in that role for a while. Frank Schwindel was next up for 3. Seems like maybe a late bloomer, although it's only 25 games, but 329. 361 on base, 633 slug, 5 homers. He had a very brief look with Kansas City in 2019, but now 29 years old. Looks like he's getting his first prolonged look here, and he's taking advantage. Seems like you're trying to capture lightning in a bottle. If you go pick him up, could hurt you from here. You just never know. But any reason to think this could be real with Frank Schwindel?
Kind of glad you said what you just said. Have you checked out this week's tout table yet?
Yes.
Went up. I mean, so a lot of people, and I think it's good to have healthy disagreements among the touts. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just me against the world here, although I think I might have you on my side. A lot of the touts, the question was, you have any pearls of wisdom for, you know, the last quarter of the season? And multiple people said, yeah, ride streaks. And a streak is not any more predictable on August 20th as it is on, or predictive, on August 20th as it is on May 20th. That is, and you said it, you don't know if it'll continue to work out. Now, one's going to argue that Schwindel has an extended streak, right? What's it hit in as of I don't know what he did this afternoon. It's Friday.
They're playing this afternoon. Yeah.
So he's hit in 15 of 16 games with an 1177 OPS, fanning 19.4% of the time. So, I mean, I can argue I want Schwindel just because of the opportunity, but some people are jumping on because of the streak. I think that's a little dangerous, even like you mentioned, even though it's been so long. The 19% strikeout rate is encouraging. As far as is it real? Is it just a lucky streak, if you will? Although he's always made pretty good contact. Contact has never been his issue. It's quality contact. So the point making, I think you hit spot on. Pick up the streak, but there's no guarantee. And I don't know that it's any better to pick up Schwindel because he's hot than somebody else because they have a better matchup. I want the matchups.
Yeah, it just seems like you're going chasing and maybe just the best is behind him and you're just going to get stuck with a net negative over the rest of the season. It's right. Possible, very possible.
Well, so I don't know that it's wrong to do it, but I just want to point out I think, I think you need other reasons, but a streak is not more predictive now. And that's what the impression I got from a handful of the touts was, well, strategy the last quarter of the season is ride hot streaks. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any more benefit to doing it now than any other time of the season. And like you said, there's more of a detriment. But the positive with Schwindel is he's got the playing time, and it's in a good hitting park, and he's a left-handed batter, so he's going to have the platoon edge a lot. Give me those reasons, and I'll sign off. I won't sign off because he's hit a 1177 OPS the past, almost month.
Yeah, the opportunity is the selling point. I get it, but yeah, performance wise, you just do not know what you're getting. Schwindel so far today, 0-3. I just pulled up game day, so he's 0-3. You know who homered in this game was Patrick Wisdom, and I just see Schwindel as like. The new Patrick Wisdom.
Well, and Wisdom was hot.
Red hot. And then
he lost
picked him up.
And now it's back to the opportunity.
Yep.
And I like him because of the opportunity more so than because he's hot. But anyway, yeah. So, and you know what? And Schwindel can stay hot, if you will, for another month and make me look like a fool. But again, I'm going to pick him up next year and he stinks. Well, regression doesn't punch a time clock, so we'll see.
By the way, Zach Davies has given up 4 earned runs, all 4 solo homers. So Sal Perez.
Solo home runs don't beat you, right?
Well, when you give up 4 of them,
yeah,
exactly. Sal Perez with 2. Sal Perez has just been unbelievable. Benintendi, then Emmanuel Rivera. 25-year-old, don't know a ton about him, but he homered today.
I think I wrote about him for ESPN on Tuesday, so I gave him
interesting.
Yeah. Well, opportunity, and
put him over.
Yeah, exactly. He probably had a good matchup that game. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I just like to put players on people on radar. And
that was prescient. Nice work.
Well, 3 days. Except you picked him up on Tuesday and you dropped him by today. Benintendi's been on a little bit of a run. Look who's pitching for Kansas City and crushing it again. Brad
Keller, 8 Ks, 1 walk. Wow.
Yeah, with me anyway, he shares a nickname with Bucky Dent. Oh, gosh. I mean, I don't want to put
– I actually still have him going a few leagues out of necessity.
I don't want to put a dollar and cents amount to it, but he's cost me a couple of shekels.
Yeah, same here. Drew Steckenrider for 2. You have a sense of who the 1A is there? I know Paul Sewald got a
close. I think there's just three. I don't know if there's a rhyme or reason. I do know that Steckenrider, I think his last 5 appearances, he got 2 wins, 2 saves and a hold, something like that. I know wins are, happenstance, but the keys are using him in leverage situations. So, and Seattle is in the wild card race. So, not that it matters too much, but I don't mind Steckenrider. Just you got to again one or two, it's not really he's only going to get a couple of saves. It's I'm 2 saves behind the next guy. I need another closer. It's where you are in the standings.
Absolutely, James picked up Tristan McKenzie for 2. I can't really complain about my league mates letting him get that value when I have 0 fab dollars.
Well, I'm a little surprised that he's even still there.
Yeah. 8 shutout innings his last time out. So, obviously, these run overnight. But he was picked up in a lot of leagues last weekend.
Yeah, and since he's come back, isn't it the walks have just been cut down significantly? And you're a Thursday league, so it may just have worked out that the matchup that week wasn't as enticing as,
Yeah.
Wasn't enticing as others, because it only has been a couple weeks since his air quote been good again, if you will. All right, so he gave up 6 runs. So it's basically been 3 starts in August, right? So there's only been a couple of opportunities.
But he probably should have been scooped up last week.
I would think so. To be honest, I would think so. But,
it's one that got James. By. Yeah.
Is James an eater? James has to be an eater.
Oh, yeah, he'll be eaten. He'll be eaten. He's actually he's dropped a little bit, but he's right up firmly in there, 5th place. Tyler Gilbert threw that no-no out of nowhere. That was really weird. He's making his first career start. He'd been a reliever. No hits the Padres. As a Reds fan, I love it because the Reds are now right in the mix there too. It's right behind the Padres. This kind of feels like the pitching version of Frank Schwindel, though. I'm not really looking to add him.
Well, the reward, if you will, for throwing your first no hitter is an all expenses paid trip to Colorado. Right?
He's yeah, good for tonight. You, Tyler.
Yeah, that should be like the second, you know, the first place winner, you know, it's one of those things, yeah. First place gets 1 week, second place gets 2 weeks, or two starts. So, yeah, I mean, we'll find out. Well, we found out a lot more tonight. I think Johnny Vandermeer is probably safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can't, you know, so the two no hitters in a row, but are you required to start Gilbert in your league? Because if you pick him up,
no, you can stash him on the bench.
Okay. So maybe it's a stash.
Mm-hmm.
Although he may have a second game this week that makes it a little bit more enticing. But as we talked about, Colorado is crushing it at home. They're the best home record in the league. They're just terrible on the road. So it's sort of a myth that it's safe to stream pitchers in Colorado this year because the Rockies aren't as good.
True. That does seem like a trap there. I've done that a few times where I'm like, you know, I'll throw this guy out there because the Rockies stink, and then it bites you because Coors is undefeated.
Yep.
Nestor Cortez, I actually skipped over. He was $2, and Tyler Gilbert was $1. So Nestor Cortez in August, 3.78 ERA, 14-4 K to walk. You know, not too bad. He's has given up 4 homers. In 16 and two-thirds innings this month, but pitching on a team that's actually, I think the Yankees now have the best record.
Oh yeah,
dating back 5 weeks or so.
And I think it says something that Gerrit Cole and Jordan Montgomery are back off the COVID IL, and Cortez is staying in the rotation. He was kind of a nice, you know, he got him through. He got him, you know, not I would say placeholder, but he got them through. He held the fort down, and I don't know if it's so much being rewarded, but. He's keeping his spot. It may be that Luis Gil isn't up yet, and David Garcia is just pitching terribly in the minors. So, but yeah, and I can see that pickup. 12 strikeouts, the last 11 and two-thirds against KC and against the White Sox, both on the road. Like you mentioned, the home runs. But I think Cortez, you know, for streaming this time of year, he's fine.
Yeah, I saw he had that great a great RotoWear shirt made of him.
Yeah.
All the Yankees bullpen had it on. I thought that was pretty great. So nice. Yeah, I thought that was a pretty nice pickup there of Nestor Cortez. Let's talk about a few more pickups here. Let's see. Brian De La Cruz. I had a bid in on him because I had needs in the outfield, but didn't get him. So he went for $1. Nick Senzel, the corresponding drop, another injury for Senzel.
Are you guys doing minor? Oh, he was a drop.
Yeah.
Okay. He wasn't. I was going to say, if you guys are using AAA stats to get Senzel.
Well, no. Yeah, he was a drop. That is sucks. They rescinded Senzel's option, put him on the IL. Just
oh, that's right. Injuries. That's right. I changed that. That is right. Just so thanks. Much for just being, you know, complaining that he didn't come up. And hey, Kyle Farmer, as you know, is not only now doing the job, he's been pumped to the second spot in the order a lot.
Yeah, and Jose Barrero too is kind of interesting. He seems like just a depth guy, but
isn't there a little something there?
I think so. I mean, he's I think James has him second in the organization.
Yeah,
in terms of prospects and
right
does look like. Yeah, if you're in a keeper league and still available, get him for a few bucks. That could be a nice.
Because you know the Reds aren't going to go out and get somebody.
No. Anyway. De La Cruz, though, for Miami, he's hitting well, but 22 Ks and 69 at bat.
Yeah. Acquired from Houston at the deadline. I was interested more because of, you know, I'm a numbers guy, but happened to catch him on TV. And I go, I like the looks of this kid. You know, I think he made a good defensive play. So I have been tracking him. He's right-handed, so he does. Miami's going with a lot of platoons, although Brinson's right-handed too. But he seems to be playing pretty regularly on a mini hitting streak. The power, I like what I'm seeing. This is where jumping on a hot streak is very dangerous because, as you mentioned, the strikeouts. So in August, on August 1st, doing little clicky things that we can do on the site. 355, 369, 484. Wow, 853 OPS, pretty good, especially in Miami where it's not a hitter's park. Oh, 31% strikeout rate, 3% walk rate. You know, regression is knocking on the door.
Absolutely. Before we move on, let's pause briefly and take a break to hear a quick word from our sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now we are back on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by WinBet. Clay Link here with Todd Zola. Todd, I admit, I'll raise my hand and admit that I'm chasing a hot streak here with Brett Phillips, but I still had Trevor Larnach in the outfield, and he got sent down, and so I just had to pick up a warm body. He doesn't play. I mean, he plays like it's looking like about two starts a week, almost two or three if I'm lucky, but he's been hot. And I almost feel like Brett Phillips may bring some good mojo to the clubhouse.
Yeah. Well, like a cool guy. I mean, one thing I will say is hot streaks often portend more playing time. Mm-hmm. So it kind of maybe this is a, you know, a hedge, but I can, if you know, all things being equal, sure, go with the hot streak because he's more likely to continue to play until he quiets down. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying
he's got 10 homers and 12 bags. He's right. Batting .215.
Right. It's not. I'm not talking gambler's fallacy here, where he's due for a cold streak. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, you know, he's due. All these guys are due to return to their normal level. Yeah. And with Phillips, it's you know, not as good. But yeah, Tampa, man, Tampa is so. They're just so good. You know, I mean, I don't hate to say it. I mean, it's just they just plug and play and mix and match. And there was a time this year where they looked terrible, but they have, you know, they figured it out and they're back to just doing what Tampa does. And they're about to get their relievers back, which other teams are looking for starting pitching. They're about to get their, I don't want to call it three-headed monster, but Anderson and Fireisen and a couple of the other relievers, and that's their strength. I mean, give them, you know, other teams, we want another starter. Give Tampa four of their best relievers back, and man, have they gotten some new toys.
Yeah, they're pretty scary, man. They didn't even bring up Shane Baz, and so, I mean, they just have an embarrassment of riches on the farm. Franco's kind of quietly.
He's doing a job
quietly, but he's because he's a top prospect, but he's kind of come on pretty strong. And
right.
With Brett Phillips, I mean, the average is horrible, but with the on base and the slug of 734 OPS, isn't that terrible? And 10 homers, 12 bags. He'd never gone more than never had more than four homers or six bags in a season. So,
right.
Kind of a little bit of category juice if you can take the, average batting average hit. Brady Singer, I've been playing, you know, dancing around with this guy all year, and then finally just cut bait for good, and now he's actually looking like maybe Brady Singer's figuring something out. He went 6 2/3 innings, only 2 earned runs. Before that, he struggled. So maybe it's just picking up on this one start. But you gotta chase if you need starting pitching.
You're right. You know, you can't say weak opponent. It was the Astros, right?
Yeah.
So no, you know, I mean, he's a quality. You know, he's shown he's got quality. He's got 4 or 5 outings this year, which are quality starts. It just happened to be one, but you just don't know what he's going to do the next time. Yeah, I was joking before, but Brad Keller has actually pitched pretty well over the second half. I think he had one hiccup in there, which, you know, just as he's going good again, he gained confidence and he stinks it up, and then he's back to good again. But yeah, he had a hiccup against Toronto, which that'll happen a lot, right?
Yeah.
Toronto will get to you. But beginning July 4th, 1, 2, 3, 4 quality starts. And quality starts, again, you know, they're what they are. That means you went 6 innings, mm-hmm. which to me is as important as anything. You know, but since July 4th, with a couple of hiccups, 3.61 ERA, 1.32 WHIP, 8.9 K per 9. That's, you know, that's 42 2/3 innings. Keller, if he had done this the entire Sewell, I mean, ERA is probably a little low with a 1.32 WHIP. But if he had done pitch with these skills the entire season, my mood would be a little bit better. Yeah. In one particular league.
I hear you there. I mentioned I picked up Victor Robles, just $0 ad, needing some depth in the outfield. So
batting leadoff for a team that can do nothing but run.
I guess in his last 7, he's batting .304. So
right,
how about that?
Right.
Obviously, tongue in cheek. But $0 ad. That's how far Victor Robles has fallen. This is a 16-team league, by the way. Seth Brown, Oscar Mercado, Chris Archer picked up. Not a lot else there. Yoel Pozo, the first place team. Aaron Quinn picked him up, catcher. So
see, as we say, in some leagues he's catcher eligible, in some leagues he's not.
Yeah,
it could be the Texas DH the rest of the season. He was crushing it in the minors. We'll we'll see how it goes. I don't think he's caught yet. I don't think he's caught yet, and he's not going to get 20 games, right? Whether he sneaks in a game or two remains to be seen. But you know, there's actually been a few catchers that have emerged lately, more so than the normal seasons, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was on Pozo in one of the NFBC leagues where I needed someone. You know, is it riding the streak or just riding? You know, my justification was, well, if he's DHing, he's playing nearly every day, and he's good on the farm. So,
hey, yeah, it could be, if he's got that catcher eligibility, could be a nice little sneaky pickup. Well, any other players on your mind, Todd, before we dive into 2-start pitchers for next week?
No, we covered a lot. There's a few stolen base guys. We talked a lot about them last week. But you mentioned Seth Brown with the Athletics losing Ramon Laureano. There's an opening there. There's check out the teams the lower, and this was mentioned in the tout table. Keep an eye on the playing time of the lower ranked teams, because there's not as much. There's 2 extra spots this year in September, so there won't be as much ability to try guys out. I think we may starting to see some guys being tried out now. I know I was commiserating with our buddy DVR, Derek Van Riper, when Isaac Paredes was sent down by Detroit. You know, what's the old SAT thing? Zola is to Olivares as Van Riper is to Paredes. he's been Derek's guy. You know, you got to draft him as the 28th round, like in the spring. So he's been kind of frustrated because they've been yo-yoing him. Detroit has, like the the Royals have been yo-yoing Olivares. I was about to say Red Sox have been yo-yoing Houck, but they've been doing it kind of
strategically,
taking advantage of the system, being able to use serendipitously placed double headers to keep, you know, taking him up, bringing him down, keeping him on regular rest, and getting relievers up to blow game to pitch in between.
I know things have been pretty rough for your Red Sox, but yeah, Hauk, I'm pretty excited about him. And I'll just throw out, you know, Eliezer Hernandez, we talked about last week. If he's still out there, you go grab him. Who, Oscar Ynoa, Carlos Hernandez, Logan Webb. Just a few other names. So let's get into
Jake Arrieta.
Oh, man.
Is that, talk about like the state of pitching. What, there was another guy like that. I mean, two, you know, retreads were being picked up by some of the best teams in the league. And it just goes to show you. Didn't the Dodgers just pick someone up too?
Well, they had Hamels, and then he got hurt right away.
Right. There was, I think, someone else they picked up recently as well, just because they had to. And it was just, maybe it was a bullpen arm. I don't remember at this point. But it just, you just kind of have to shake your head a little bit. And that's what we're saying. And the Rays are about to get reinforcements back. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is their time.
Yeah, and the Padres, picking up Arrieta, just desperate for starting pitching. They did bring Tatis back to play the outfield. And Tatis looks like he's going to have to carry them on his back to get that second wild card. As I always say, these two-star grades, very tentative. Continue to check the starting pitching grid at rotowire.com, rotowire.com/free for a 10-day trial. Check out Todd's weekly pitcher rankings closer to first pitch on Monday for a better idea of where he stands on these guys. But let's get into it, Todd. 0 to 5 scale, Madison Bumgarner. Looks like he's the only one because we're projecting Luke Weaver to return at the end of next week, and he was Luke Weaver starting today for AAA Reno. So he built up to 59 pitches. You think maybe he pushes close to 75, 80 tonight, and then, back next week. So Bumgarner at Pitt, at Philly, I guess I'll give him a he's been a lot better than I expected, but I'm still only going to give him a 2.
I get him ranked as a 4. A lot of it probably would be because of the at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And the other reason being is, you know, keeping in mind these are relative to the field. The field is terrible this week. I can't do Charles Barkley. It's terrible. I can't do it. Yeah. It is horrendous.
Yeah.
The two start options are just terrible. There's only 90 games in the docket and that's a low number. There's actually only 3 of the 7 days have got a full schedule. There's days off on Wednesday, Friday and Sunday. It's just bizarre. But anyway, I'm going to go 4 with Bumgarner. A little bit scared about the Philly, but didn't he just was it Philly? He just held down a good team.
It was Philly.
All right, so it's
8 innings of 1-run ball.
Right. So it's in Philadelphia this time, but I'm going to go 4 just again relative. This may be a 2 in May, but I'm going 4 now because if you need a 2-start guy, he's one of the better ones.
I can't go 4, but I did bump him up to a 3.
Oh, okay, all right.
I think I have a unfair bias against
Madison. I mean, I don't know if it's unfair because he hasn't been good.
No, I just kind of did. I mean, that whole, like, rodeo stuff and just him being a red ass, you know.
I have not done a dive as to why he's been pitching so well lately. It kind of rolls into our whole caught streak discussion. But he's – since July 28th, it's been 7-7-7, 6 2/3, and 8. He's pitching deep. Mm-hmm. And this is the time of the year where we were concerned about volume. I guess you don't – he's like a rental car. Nothing runs like, runs like a rental. We're not concerned about the mileage on Bumgarner.
That's true. That is one thing you could feel good about picking him up is, you know, not going to be any limitations on him. This is something you don't see every day. The Braves next week have 2 off days in the middle of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, both off. That's pretty weird. So
yeah.
They only have 5 games.
Right. It's got to be a double, an interleague situation where.
Oh, yeah. They're versus New York. So,
and
yeah,
it's just the way it works out. Sometimes these things, there's like something going on and they're in one of the cities that they don't want to interfere with. But yeah, anyway.
So for the Baltimore Orioles, Spencer Watkins handed 5th straight loss his last time out. I guess we don't need to spend much time here on Spencer Watkins. That'll be a 0.
Yep. Ranked number 130.
Yeah, that's it's going to be I can't imagine being in a spot where you had to consider picking him up. Now, Tanner Houck, we talked about him a little bit. this is pretty well set in stone, right? That he's going to be up on Monday or on Tuesday to start.
That's supposed to be the party line. The Red Sox used both Garrett Richards and Martin Perez in relief not long ago. So I mean, it doesn't look like either of those guys. And I mean, Minnesota and Cleveland, I mean, they're both, you know, middle of the pack. I mean, they're not great. They're not terrible offenses. I don't know. I've got him as a three myself, Tanner Houck, this week.
Yeah, I'm just checking to be sure because it seems like maybe Julian McWilliams of the Boston Globe suggested that Houck, you know, because he served as the 27th man for this past Tuesday, that'll be able to rejoin the Red Sox without missing a turn. Maybe the rules are a little different for players serving as the 27th man. He doesn't have to spend the full 10 days. Either way, Tanner Houck,
he can get called up. The 10 day, I think the 27th man doesn't interfere with the 10 day time. So you can get called up to be the 10th man, and then you go back down and you're
still serving that prior.
You continue the 10 man. Right.
I appreciate
you. I think that's the way it is.
I think now that you say that, I think you're right too, because I saw that's, I was wondering why they, you know, had him as the 27th man, because I thought he was sticking around. But as you said, strategic use of the rules.
Is it leveraging? Is it gaming the rules? You know what it is. Yeah. Not everybody's doing it. You know,
it's not there. Like cheating. It's just
right. It's not cheating.
Being smart about how roster moves.
Is it a loophole? Sure, it is, but it's not cheating.
Absolutely, I agree with you there. Cubs, no two start pitchers for them. It looks like, but the Reds, Tyler Mahle. At Milwaukee, at Miami, he's been a different guy on the road. I was looking at his note, and you know, it's just crazy the home road split so far. 6 ERA, Great American Ballpark, a 1.86 ERA on the road. So while he's got to go to Milwaukee, and he hasn't been all that great lately at home, obviously, you got to feel pretty good about trotting Mahle out. So. By the way, I'm giving Houck a 4. You gave him a 3, okay. Though, right?
All right, yeah, that's fine.
I'm going to give Tyler Mahle a 4 as well.
I give him a 5. I mean, not only that, I have number 9 overall. Wow. So I'm giving him a 5. I know if I'll adjust the innings to have him drop any, but he's the first 9 or 2 start guys, and before we start getting into the single start guys that up in the rankings, but. Miami's a pretty good place to pitch, so I'm going with the 5.
At Milwaukee scares me a little bit, but I'm hoping that holds me back from a 5, but I got you down.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, James and I, we've had some pretty good luck in the main event. We are, let's see, in the overall now. I'm trying not to check it all the time, but we're 43rd in the overall, second in our league. We dropped Eli Morgan, though, and that was kind of a little bit of a shot in the foot because then he goes out and throws 6 shutout innings. Now he's versus Texas versus Boston. That second one scares you a little bit. Maybe not as much with the way the Red Sox are rolling right now, but I think I'll give Eli Morgan a 3.
I have him barely a 5, but I might up his innings because barely a 1. I'm going backwards. Okay. I'm going backwards in my head because he's at 98. So I think I am for only 4 innings because my algorithm is taking into account a lot of the early starts. Mm-hmm. So I think if I bump him to 5, which I think is fair, he'd probably end up in the 2 range.
Yeah, I actually lowered to 2. Should I have you down as a 1 or a 2 there?
I'm going to go.
That versus Texas is just so appealing.
I'm going to go with a 1, but I'm going to put the numbers in while we're talking and see where he lands.
Okay, I got you down as a 1. Antonio Senzatella at the Cubs, at the Dodgers on the road, but man, I can't really do it. The Cubs are so juicy right now as a matchup, but at the Dodgers scares me. So Senzatella, I'll give a 1.
Yeah, and it's probably there are worse options if I need a 2-start guy because I'm chasing strikeouts or whatever, then I'd prefer Senzatella over them. So I'm actually tempted to say 2. I'm going to say 2 just again, because the field is so cruddy this week.
Yeah. And Senzatella really hasn't been as bad as I thought, but yeah, all right. I'll, I'll give you a two there. I got a one on Senzatella, but two I think is fair.
Right.
Lance Lynn and Carlos Rodon, they got a kind of a tough start to the week at Toronto, but I think those guys are both fives, right?
Yep. Yeah. You know, interesting. Did you see, I think it was MLB Network was, you know, talking about the Cy Young Awards and Lynn's ERA, you know, 2.29, whatever it is, second in innings to Cole. And okay, so we've got people pretty much in tune with wins aren't that important. But right now, there are a couple of pitchers with better skills than Lance Lynn, but his ERA is just so far below everybody else. I don't, you know, we've got four or five, obviously, maybe, you know, at this point, seven or eight starts left, and things could change. But if we're in today, I'd be, I think, the outlier giving the Cy Young to Gerrit Cole because his skills are that much better than Lance Lynn's. He's just pitching into a little bit more luck.
Mm. We'll see. Everybody was so scared about Cole when the spider tech cracked down. He had that little brief stretch where he wasn't so good, but still a stud and still a lot of good years in that arm, I'd imagine, for Gerrit Cole. No two-star starters for the Tigers, but Houston, Zach Greinke versus Kansas City at Texas. Pretty nice. Doesn't get a whole lot better. So I'm going to give Zach a five.
Yep. And if I'm allowed, I do Morgan giving him five innings apiece does rank him in the two range now.
So I can
go Morgan to a two. Yeah.
Gotcha down there. So Greinke a five. Now Daniel Lynch back. And he was impressive against Houston, but now, well, I guess, you know, he's got Houston again. I don't know if there's any real proven science about a guy facing a team a second time, but it still scares me. And it's Houston, so it should scare you anyway. But and then at St. Louis or at Seattle, then after the Houston matchup,
there hasn't the research that I have seen, and I admittedly I haven't seen an updated study for 3 or 4 years, says there's really no advantage or disadvantage to facing a team the second time. It's obviously a limited sample, although we seem to be getting more of the sample. It could be a study that could be rerun. But, at Houston and at Seattle, I mean, this is one that you can get burned. But I have him for a zero. If someone desperate put him for a one, I wouldn't argue. But I still have him as a zero.
Yeah, you know, I could see in some league, maybe a points league, someone have him a one. But I'm thinking for myself. And out head to head where I'm just having such a hard time maintaining a full bench. Like it just putting guys on the IL, but playoffs and head to head tout coming up pretty soon. Looks like I'm going to sneak in and I just need to have the best possible team for then. So I'm kind of trying to gear ahead for a few weeks in that particular league, a few weeks ahead. That is, so Daniel Lynch, I will have a one. Now LAA, they have a weird, you know, off Monday, then off Sunday. So they're bookended with off days next week. Dodgers, Julio Urias at San Diego, home versus Colorado. That's a five.
Yes, third overall this week.
I need to overthink that one. Before we move on, though, I do have to take care of a little bit of business, if you'll bear with me here. A few words from our sponsors. WinBet. If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WinBet's digital casino and take a spin on roulette. Double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WinBet is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's W-Y-N-N-B-E-T. WinBet, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. Also, NFL is back on Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy has over $100,000 guaranteed for NFL Week 1. With Thrive Fantasy, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus on only the top-tier athletes. that have the biggest impact on the game. Sign up today and get a free 6-month RotoWire subscription. Here's how you can claim that free RotoWire subscription. Visit rotowire.com/thrive. Deposit a minimum of $10 and receive a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. Play in your first paid contest and receive that free 6-month RotoWire subscription. Finally, the new NFL season is fast approaching and Yahoo is excited to kick off daily fantasy football. Yahoo is also excited to announce that its platform will now be shark-free. To celebrate the opening of Yahoo Daily Fantasy Football and being shark-free, Yahoo is giving users the opportunity to claim free $10 in contest entry credit. Users can take advantage of this free $10, this $10 entry credit offer to join Yahoo's Week 1 $1 million Baller Contest. The $1 million Baller Contest features $200,000 in guaranteed prizing overlay. 25% of the players entered will be paid out, including first place receiving $100,000 and an entry to the first ever Yahoo Fantasy Football Championship live finals event, which will occur at MGM National Harbor in Maryland this December. That'll be pretty cool. Play daily fantasy football on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/daily-fantasy/welcome. To claim the free $10 offer. Now we move on, Todd, with two star pitchers for next week. Jesus Luzardo, really tough to trust him. I mean, I still like the upside long term, but man, since that injury and you know this season with the A's and now with Miami, it's not getting any better really. So I need to wait and see. I'm actually going to give him a 0, I think.
I am too. I have not had eyeballs on Luzardo yet, which is odd because I do have him in the XFL, which is a keeper dynasty league. Essentially traded Jacob DeGrom for him. And then later in the year, Wander Franco became available. And I don't know that I would have been able to get Franco. DeGrom was still healthy at that point, but it did take me out of the running. But so I am rooting for Luzardo, obviously. I'm going to give him a 0 just because I'm not even sure that he's going to go 5 innings in either start.
Yeah, I just can't see myself trusting him at this point. I still have that prospect pedigree in my mind. And I still think, you know, he can't be this bad. He's only 23 years old. He did have COVID last year. He had that gaming injury. Which, you know, whether you're punching the wall out of frustration from a video game or punching the wall out of frustration from your recent performance on the field, like, who Oscar Noah? It's a learning experience. So I think
hopefully, yeah.
At 23 years old, he's still got a long, long bright future ahead of him. But right now, I can't trust Luzardo. No 2-star pitchers for the Brewers. For the Minnesota Twins, Bailey Ober. I feel like he was on the list recently. At Boston versus Milwaukee, I can't do it. I mean, hasn't been that bad, but I can't do it.
No, there's no reason.
Can't do it. Tyler McGill versus San Francisco versus Washington. It's been brutal for the Mets, and now it sounds like maybe DeGrom not coming back at all this year, which probably the smart move for them.
Yeah, if they're in the playoff run, maybe he comes back to get a couple of fine-tuning innings. Mm-hmm. I'm sure once they're out of the playoff hunt, well, I don't say once, if they're out of the playoff hunt, then he's probably shut down, and without DeGrom, it'll be hard to get back in, right? I mean,
yeah, I think they're still third in the division. I think they're clearly behind Atlanta and Philadelphia in terms of the team they have compiled there.
But McGill, I'm at a 4.
I mean that's pretty darn good 2-step.
Yeah,
I think I'm gonna go 3, but I'll get you down for a 4.
Okay.
Next up, Andrew Heaney. You know, there are a couple fan bases that I consider extremely online. At least maybe I just follow too many of them on Twitter, but the White Sox and the Yankees, man, they're just brutal. And Andrew Heaney seems like, actually the White Sox seem to support their guys, but they're just very online. But Heaney's seems like he's been getting just shredded by Yankees fans and maybe deservedly so. I'm not looking to pick him up and start him. So maybe I'll give him a 1. Just out of respect for what he's done in the past. But I can't really see any situation where I'm realistically picking up Andrew Heaney.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to find him in my rankings. I don't see him. I mean, he pitched. He didn't pitch well against the Red Sox. The Red Sox did not hit well against Andrew Heaney. All right, I got him. I got him at 68, which makes him a three. But I haven't done my adjustments for recent starts. I haven't completely loaded the database with all the information.
Well, he had, of course, that brutal, you know, in that little bandbox in Iowa.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's already been included or not. But I'm going to I think the home runs, he's going to be helped in Oakland. I'm going to go a two. I think that's one of the advantages of using sheets is they don't show recency or any kind of bias. The disadvantage is sometimes you get too hooked into them and you don't think outside the box enough. But I'm gonna go to now the question being, do I have Andrew Heaney and would I really start him? I don't know if I actually have an opportunity. But if he's been dropped because of this terrible pitching, I could see putting him on my list of ads.
Yeah, that's where the spreadsheet definitely gets the best of me because I am too emotional and too attached to what's been happening recently.
It's all one starting point. Wherever your starting point is, emotion or Excel, you have to be, you can't rely on it. You have to be able to go the other way, whichever way that is. So
yeah, true. Now Paul Blackburn's been around for parts of five seasons. He's made one start apiece each of the last three seasons. Looks like maybe he'll be needed in an emergency again next week. So we have him lined up for versus Seattle versus the Yankees. Zero for me for Paul Black.
I have him as a one. Home helps. Pitching in Oakland helps. And
who's he filling in for?
It's got to be Bassett, right?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, that was scary.
Oh gosh, yeah.
That was horrible. Best of thoughts to Bassett.
Good lord. Yeah.
Tried to push that out of my mind, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. Maybe I'm maturing as a person at age 58. My first thought wasn't, "Oh no, my fantasy team." When I saw that. A few years ago, it would have been
nauseating.
It's scary. And whether or not he comes back for the playoffs or not is remains to be seen. Wouldn't you like just to see him pitch just to get it out of the system so we can have he's not going to be thinking about it all off season.
Yeah. When we were talking last week on MLB, I don't think I mentioned it. We were talking to Fantasy Baseball Surprises, and he was right up there in terms of earned value. He's just having a brilliant year. You know,
some of us liked him. Some of us. He was all right. The way he was pitching, the extent of the numbers was a surprise, but the fact he was pitching well, to me, wasn't that much of a surprise.
Yeah. No, I had him in a bunch of leagues, and
he was.
It's going to suck, but I'm obviously just happy that
he was one of the few pitchers with a legit chance at 200 innings.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, not going to get it, right? But Zach Wheeler, Walker Buehler, I think of the best. If you were to set the over-under at 0.5, I'm actually going to write about this. I'm actually writing about this right now for Z-Files. If you set the point over-under at 0.5, I'll take the over. If you set it at 1.5, I'm taking the under. Alcantara has an outside shot, Wainwright, and then as I mentioned, Walker Buehler and Zach Wheeler. But we're talking from the beginning of the year, so much talk about innings, etc. There may not be anybody with 200 innings, although Wheeler, something has to happen for Zach Wheeler not to get 200.
Yeah, what a story Wheeler has been, and really since last year when he was like. Remember that? He was like kind of talking about maybe after the birth of his child, he had opt out.
Right.
He didn't end up doing that because the fortuitous timing of the birth. And since then, he's just been one of the best pitchers in the game. So.
Yeah, well, he became a ground ball guy but lost the dominance. Mm-hmm. This year, he's both ground ball and dominant. And I keep saying I'm not – to me, ground ball isn't a skill. It's a trait. But in Philadelphia, in that ballpark, you want him throwing ground – you want him throwing ground balls. So he's the best of both worlds.
Closer turned starter Ranger Suarez versus Tampa Bay versus Arizona.
Speaking
I love picking on Arizona, but they have him on a pretty tight leash here. Since stepping into the rotation, he's not gone five. fell one out short of going five his last time out. But until he's going five regularly, I just no. So I'm going to go Ranger Suarez zero, actually. No, he's not a bad pitcher at all.
I think I'm going to go one, okay. Just because by the time that Arizona start rolls around, he may be able to go deeper into the game.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I'm going
to change one, too, because the guy's got a 150 ERA.
Yeah, and part of that is you're going to make an adjustment because a lot of that was in the bullpen. You got to make you know, the law of 17, it's Fangraph's law, where your skills are less than 17% on the average from a starter to reliever. So, you know, you decrease the strikeout rate, you increase the walk rate, et cetera, and make the adjustment. But even so, you're right about the innings, and Tampa can lay one on you. So it is in Philly, but I'm going to go with a one.
No, Will Crow of Pittsburgh, he's going to be a zero, but JT Brubaker is kind of a tough call. I just took him out of my stake league lineup. I like to pick on Arizona, as I said, but Brubaker's just been rough. And I have a guy like Chad Green, Paul Sewald I can plug in. I'm not really making up much room in K's and wins at this point. So, I took Brubaker out. My lineup versus Arizona, then the second one's versus St. Louis. Looks decent on paper, but he's just been so bad lately.
Yeah,
I'm going to give Brubaker a one.
I'm going three. Again, here's a case with a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
I have not put in the most recent starts, which could hurt him. It could bring him to a two. But the offense is Arizona and St. Louis. And in Pittsburgh, one of the best pitching parks in the league, I'm going with a three.
Yeah, that's a classic case where I've been burned by those recent blowups of his.
Yeah,
he gave up seven to the Dodgers, eight to the Reds. So last three starts, he's got a 12.86 ERA.
Yep.
But recency bias is a hell of a drug, and I'm on it right now when it comes to JT Brubaker.
I'm on confirmation bias because I think he's pretty good. So anyway.
Well, I guess you're hoping to have some confirmation bias because he's not been good.
Right. Well, and I think he's right. He hasn't been good. But you mentioned a couple good offenses. I think he's better than he's pitched lately. So we'll see.
True. Okay, so San Diego's got that weird bookended by off days schedule as well next week. And then Marco Gonzalez for Seattle. You know, him and Bassett, but I like them both kind of in that range. And on the field for Gonzalez, it has not been as smooth as it was for Bassett performance wise. But I still think at Oakland versus KC, I think Marco Gonzalez is a rock solid four.
I get him borderline 4 or 5, but that the difference is being I'm relating it to the field. This just as we've gone through this, there's just no good. There's no good two start pitchers this week, right? You know, there just aren't. I mean, the best ones, at least we talked about so far, Urias and Lynn, you know, maybe Greinke and Rodon. So there haven't been an ace yet. So relative to the field, he's getting a five for me.
And what about Disco? Imagine, given what you just said, relative to the field, he'd be a five. I think I'm going to give him a five.
He's rated. I've him rated higher than Gonzalez. Yep.
Anthony DeSclafani, five. We will, of course, recap these at the end of the show, which is coming up here momentarily. Jack Flaherty versus Detroit at Pitt. Doesn't get much better than that. Looking at what he's been doing, he's been pretty good. Obviously missed a ton of time. He's made two starts since coming back. Six innings in both of those, only two earned runs total. So you love seeing him coming back and cutting it loose right away, and I'm going to give him a five.
He'll be the cover boy of this week's rankings because he's the number one overall rated pitcher.
Sure, we have a good pick in the database. And
hopefully we do.
That. No two-start starters for Tampa Bay, and same deal with Texas. Still going with that six-man, right, in Texas?
Yeah.
And then Alek Manoah and Jose Berríos, I'm going to give them both fives.
We're improving the inventory a little bit here, but it's still down relative to the rest of the year. Yeah, those are both top 10 guys.
First one scares you a little bit against the White Sox, but definitely love that. And then John Gray at Miami at the Mets. Maybe a situation where I actually look at picking up John Gray. Or I'm sorry, Josiah Gray.
Yeah, I did that mistake earlier.
Yeah, Josiah Gray has been great since joining Washington, man. He's been fantastic. So Josiah Gray, hey, I'm going to give him a four.
I get him in the five range. And I the Mets just aren't hitting. And those are two really good parks. Yeah. And that's it's a huge park upgrade. I usually don't give the fives to this level of pitcher. And another day, maybe a four. But we're going to go five.
I like it. Yeah, this is a pretty short list of two starters to recap here. But we'll go through them before we sign off. Madison Bumgarner, three. I say three, Todd, four. Spencer Watkins, zero. Tanner Houck, I say four. Todd, three. Tyler Malley, I say four. Todd, five. Eli Morgan, two. Antonio Senzatella, I say one. Todd, two. Lance Lynn, five. Carlos Rodon, five. Zach Greinke, five. Daniel Lynch, I gave a one. Todd, zero. Julio Urias, five. Jesus Luzardo, zero. Bailey Ober, zero. Tyler McGill, I say three. Todd, four. Andrew Heaney, I say one, Todd, two. Paul Blackburn, zero, Todd, one. Ranger Suarez, one. Will Crow, zero. JT Brubaker, I say one, Todd, three. Marco Gonzalez, I say four, Todd, five. Anthony DeSclafani, five. Jack Flaherty, five. Alec Manoa, five. Jose Barrios, five. Josiah Gray, I say four, Todd, five. So, Todd, look forward to seeing your updated look at the next week's starters on the weekly pitcher rankings. Anything else you want to mention before we sign off today?
Yeah, we are looking forward to talking to you tomorrow night live on MLB Network Radio, 7 p.m. Eastern. We're going to invite on a new kid that we haven't talked to for a while, aren't we?
Yeah, Jason Klett's going to be taking time out of his Saturday evening to talk with us. That'll be fun. Haven't had him on the show in a while, so that'll be cool. And yeah, live. There'll be a lot of action going on, so no shortage of things to talk about. Look forward to that, Todd. Hope you'll join us then, and hope you'll join us next week on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by WinBet.
Try RotoWire today, free for 10 days. Get our premium tools, rankings, analysis, and breaking news alerts. No credit card required. Go to rotowire.com/try.